Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 10, titled Divisions of the Creation, text number 4. The greatly learned sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, Brahma thus engaged himself in penances for 100 celestial years as advised by the personality of Godhead and applied himself in devotional service to the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. It's a very short purport. So after this purport, I'll continue reading next verse as well. Purport. That Brahma engaged himself for the personality of Godhead, Narayan, means that he engaged himself in the service of the Lord. That is the highest penance of one can perform for any number of years. There is no retirement from such service, which is eternal and ever encouraging. Text 5.
Tada vilogabja sambhuto vayunayat athishtitaha padmam ambasa chattat kala krita vidyena kampitam.
Thereafter, Brahma saw that both the lotus on which he was situated and the water on which the lotus were growing were trembling due to the strong, violent wind. Purport. The material world is called illusory because it is a place of forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. Thus, one engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the material world may sometimes be very much disturbed by awkward circumstances. There is a declaration of war between the two parties, the illusory energy and the devotees. And sometimes the weak devotees fall victim to the onslaught of the powerful illusory energy. Lord Brahma, however, was sufficiently strong by the causeless mercy of the Lord, and he could not be victimized by the material energy, although it gave him cause for anxiety when it managed to totter the existence of his possessions.
Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurim Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaghanitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantam Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditmanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Bhutair Mahatbhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear that Brahma engaged himself for the personality of Godhead, which means that the Lord Brahma engaged in the devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. So many people have a wrong understanding of bhakti. When we talk about bhakti, even those who have heard this term bhakti, they think that bhakti means something which is just present in the heart. We have to do everything with bhakti. I have devotion in my heart. You speak to people who have heard this word bhakti before. They consider bhakti just as a sentiment which is present in the heart. And they can't see that is there any more practical application to it. So Srila Prabhupada, when he translated the word bhakti, he translated in a very proper fashion. He translated it as unconditional, unmotivated, loving, devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Krishna. In fact, the word bhakti can only be applied to Krishna. Usually people think, okay, when we talk, use the term bhakti, bhakti can be used, or loving devotion can be applied to any demigods or whoever we like. So Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If you read the last two purports of the 6th chapter, then it is very emphatically presented that bhaj dhatu, or the root word bhaj, could only be used in connection to Krishna. So when we see Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and if we try to understand why the word Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is used, one could think that the actual term should be Krishna Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because the whole nectar devotion is about bhakti towards Krishna. It's all about loving devotional service unto Krishna. What is the nature of that service? How to attain that service? Now, having said this, it is very clearly mentioned that only Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is enough, because Krishna is implied. Because bhakti means it is bhakti for Krishna. There is no need for expansion. But to make it clear, when Srila Prabhupada translated, he translated it as unconditional, unmotivated, loving devotional service unto Krishna. So the word Krishna consciousness itself is coming from a verse from Srila Rupa Goswami, Krishna Bhakti Paribhavitamati. It's a very interesting verse. Krishna Bhakti Paribhavitamati. This is the word, this is the first line of this verse from which our term of Krishna consciousness is coming. So Krishna consciousness means Krishna bhakti, yes, that loving devotional service unto Krishna, that is paribhavita mati. So one's consciousness is completely filled. Paribhavita means bhavita, usually one can consider that bhavita means one is thinking or one is conscious of. However, paribhavita means in its completeness. So mati, one's consciousness is completely filled with Krishna. So that is Krishna consciousness. And it doesn't stop at the stage of consciousness, but it manifests as action. So that is exemplified by Brahma, because Brahma has performed austerities for 100 celestial years, and as his devotional service, he is going to create progenies as ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his service. So this is bhakti. So bhakti is not just the feeling in the heart. It is not just sentimental, but it is the activity. And Srila Prabhupada, as an acharya, he knew very well, and he knew what are the misinterpretations of bhakti. So when he presented it very clearly and succinctly. Just one phrase, everything is clear. Just like if you pick Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, if you read any purport, it is very clear that the whole aim of Bhagavad Gita is to give Krishna bhakti. Any purport. So if we go through just the verse, we may not understand. If we go through just the translation, we may not understand. But with the purport, everything is clear. So this is the genius of Srila Prabhupada. So that's why the Krishna consciousness movement is completely focused on service to Krishna. We may think, okay, living in a monastery, living in an ashram, devotees are, you know, just reading and chanting. One could have such a perception, but it is not right. We are practically engaged in service to Krishna, because that is the only way we can show our love for Krishna. We can show that, okay, we care for you, we care for Krishna. So that is done through our service. And of course, we go through the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, because that is a fuel that will help us to do devotional service. So of course, the morning program, a substantial amount of time we are spending on hearing and chanting. If we consider from 4:30 till 8:30 or 9 o'clock, you know, it is about 4 and a half hours just on hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we spent a considerable amount of time in meditating on Krishna by hearing and chanting, and then rest of the time in serving Krishna. So this is Krishna consciousness. And what is the nature of Krishna consciousness? Very interesting. Srila Prabhupada makes it, this purport, the first purport, even though it is very small, only two lines, there is no retirement from such service, which is eternal and ever encouraging. Think about this. Just one sentence. Think about this. This is the whole life of a devotee. This is an eternal life of a devotee. That there is no retirement from such service. Ahetuki apratihata yatma supresidati. Yes? Save pumsam paro dharmo yadho bhaktir adhokshache. Ahetuki apratihata yatma supresidati. Two characteristics of devotional service. One is ahetuki. It is causeless. We don't want to do devotional service having so many things in our mind. We may have many things in our mind, but at least we shouldn't explicitly pray for that. Give me a new car, give me a new house, give me this, give me that. We may have many things coming to our mind, but at least shouldn't come to the foreground of our mind and that becomes our prayer. Then we are actually deviated from the path of pure devotional service. If you are trying to follow sadhana bhakti, that is considered pure devotional service. Because that can produce pure devotional service. So if you are in the path of sadhana bhakti, as given by Srila Rupa Goswami, then we are in the track of pure devotional service. We don't need to do anything extraneously. So if we are doing that, then we don't pray for anything material. That's why we have so many prayers of acharyas. So when we use that prayers in service, then we can see, okay, our consciousness is changing. We are coming to a better dimension. It is just like some people are riding a bicycle. It's a bit dangerous, but still one can hang on to a bus. Have you seen that? In India, you might have seen that. You know, they will be, you know, just holding on to a bus and then you go very fast. Similarly, we can take shelter of acharyas and their prayers. We can take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and the prayers given in Srimad Bhagavatam. In that way, we can accelerate our devotional progress because our consciousness is elevated. So just by associating with that prayers, our consciousness becomes transformed. That is one beauty of verses from Bhagavad Gita, verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and other verses, that if we memorize these verses and if we think about these verses, what happens? Our consciousness naturally changes. We don't need to do anything extraneously. Just by doing that, we get a better consciousness because the mind has to think over something. Mind cannot stop thinking. Anyway, it's not our philosophy. Stop thinking. Stop desiring. That's not our philosophy. So since mind has to engage in the activity of thinking, give something positive. Think about Krishna. Memorize verses. Remember different points from the purport. Meditate on that. And then naturally the consciousness changes. So we can see that it is one must study Bhagavatam throughout. Means throughout the day and night. Every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That is the complete meaning of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya is one is with Bhagavatam all the time. So now the question is, how is it possible to have such a reading of Srimad Bhagavatam all the time? We don't have the taste, of course, but how is it possible? So it is mentioned that hearing and chanting, it is part of following Srimad Bhagavatam, and we do study Srimad Bhagavatam, and rest of the time we are acting upon Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we are acting upon Srimad Bhagavatam in the form of devotional service, and if we can use our consciousness, use our mind in service of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we can think in the background of our mind who we are serving and what are the characteristics of the person who we are serving, then the devotional service is a completely different experience. It's just like you might have seen, you know, the black and white movies. You know, it is pretty dry. You know, you remember watching black and white movies? You know, just, you know, it's just not very attractive. But now, if you see the same thing with a full color bright, you know, then you get a different experience. The same thing in a black and white or a grayscale, and if you transport it into a color, you get a different dimension. It suddenly becomes quite attractive. Similarly, the devotional service is also like that. When we do devotional service, not with the right consciousness, we don't know who we are doing it for, we don't have the right understanding, then devotional service is just like a grayscale picture or a black and white movie. But when we have the right consciousness, everything changes. So everything is about transforming, changing the consciousness. It's not so much about external. External actions are our gesture to show Krishna our consciousness. So sometimes, okay, we don't like, but we do it, which is good. However, if we engage our consciousness in service of Krishna, then we can get higher benefit. So that is where we are developing our bhakti. We can see that. Maya Veshya Manoyema Nityukta Upasate. This is the statement of Krishna. Maya Aveshya Manoyema. What is the point? The consciousness is completely attached to Krishna. So the devotional service which we have to aspire for, at least we need to know, this is what we want. This is what my aspiration. That is Aveshya Mana. That is the mana, our mind is attached to Krishna. So this is where we can actually see devotional service. And this is how we can even perceive Srimad Bhagavatam. Great devotees like Sri Sanatan Goswami says that prema aksharayate, that is each syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with love for Krishna. When we sleep while reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't realize at all that this each syllable is filled with love of Krishna. When we struggle to, you know, turn one page to the next, then we don't realize, oh, it is just a hard struggle. And at least, how can we try to understand that this Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with love for Krishna? We can see that if you pick any canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you take any chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take any verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see that all these chapters, everything is pushing one to the lotus feet of Krishna. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam is pushing to the 10th canto. That is the ashraya. So we can see in that connection every chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. At least we need to see. We need to try to see how come this Srimad Bhagavatam is so important. And everything is leading to the 10th canto. It is mentioned by Sridhar Swami. Dashame dashamam lakshyam ashrita ashraya vigraham Shri Krishnakhyam Param Dhamam Tat Dhamam Namamitat. The 10th subject of Srimad Bhagavatam is Ashraya. It is a shelter. And what is that? Dashame Dashamam Lakshyam. That the Ashraya, the shelter of the 10th subject, which is Dashamam. It is the Dashamaskandha. It is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is that? Ashrita Ashraya Vigraha. He is the shelter of those who have taken shelter of. Who is that? Shri Krishnakhyam Param Dhamam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Param Dhamam. He is the Supreme Abode. Tat Dhamam Namamitat. And I pay my obeisances unto Him. So when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we need to see that connection. Everything is leading to Srimad Bhagavatam. Sorry, to the 10th canto, to Krishna. Everywhere. I was recently reading the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It was very interesting. That initially it starts with the pastime of Priyavrata Maharaj. Priyavrata Maharaj was performing austerities just like now Lord Brahma is performing austerities. Priyavrata Maharaj is performing austerities as a brahmachari, and he had no interest whatsoever in ruling over the universe. Even though it was his right to be the ruler of the entire universe. And his father, Swayambhuva Manu, tried his best to pursue him to come and take over the kingdom. He had no interest. Srila Prabhupada explains why he didn't have any interest at all to enjoy all the opulences of this universe, practically speaking. Why? Because since he was engaged in this bhakti, ahetuki apratihata, causeless and uninterrupted,
As far as one is chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what happens? Naturally, one is thinking about Krishna. One is thinking about the form of the Lord. One is naturally thinking about the pastimes of the Lord. One is thinking about the qualities of the Lord. So that is not boring. We have many devotees tell, when they chant Hare Krishna, we feel, oh, it is boring sometime. But it is not so when we chant regularly, attentively, and if we try to understand and gain knowledge about Krishna, chanting is no more boring. We understand that chanting means we are getting in touch with reality. And reality is not something which is just plain blank, and you know, it is just, you know, just like a as we say, Brahman. It is just the jyoti, just the light. No, the reality is of complete variety and variegatedness. So when one sincerely chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then he thinks about Krishna naturally. One doesn't have to force his mind to think about Krishna. Rather, when one hears the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, naturally one thinks about Krishna. So thinking about Krishna is not at all boring. It is exciting. So that's how Priyavrata Maharaj, he didn't have any problem. He was continuing for so many thousands and thousands upon years, but he was not bored. He didn't want any retirement. Then Narada Muni had to come and he had to instruct Priyavrata Maharaj to stop this. And then he had to come down and he had to actually stop that and he had to engage in the activity of ruling over the world. So this is the potency of devotional service. No interest whatsoever in the material activities. We can be swayed by so many things. But one who has developed the taste cannot be swayed. So one of the doubt of Priyavrata Maharaj, just like here also in the purport, we can see purport as well as in the translation, we can see that Lord Brahma is impeded by so many tribulations. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that as one progresses in devotional service, as one practices devotional service, there will be impediments. That is guaranteed. Impediments are guaranteed in devotional service. Now the question is, how are we going to deal with those impediments? So Priyavrata, he had his genuine question. If I take up the ruling over the world, I am stopping my devotional activity with the intensity in which I am performing now. So what will happen to my devotional service? Then in the purport, it is mentioned that by the mercy of the Lord, such an advanced devotee is able to cross over all the material tribulations. Just like Brahma, here we can see the same purport. Brahma is able to cross over these impediments by the mercy of the Lord. This is the nature of powerful devotees. There will be impediments. There is no doubt about it. Even when Srila Prabhupada left this world, there were a lot of impediments in the path of the devotees. Many, many impediments. And those who were strong, they stuck to it. They could continue. And they became advanced devotees. Now we see those who are very senior devotees. We met many of them just now in the 40th anniversary gathering. They are advanced devotees because they continued devotional service. They didn't take retirement. And they were mentioning so much of austerities they were performing. Definitely there were impediments, but they could continue even amidst impediments. So this is a challenge. In fact, if one is sincere, it is mentioned that the Lord will definitely bestow His mercy and then one can cross over this ocean of material existence. It's mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the 2nd chapter, prayers by the demigods. When Krishna was in the womb of Mother Devaki, it's called the Garbhastuti. Vinayakani kapa murdhani kvachit. That is, such a devotee who is sincere and who is facing with impediments, what happens? By the mercy of the Lord, he can place his feet on the forehead of the impediment and he can cross over. Can you see that? He can just place his leg on top, the feet on top of that impediment and can just cross over by the mercy of the Lord. So this is by the mercy of the Lord because of the sincerity of that devotee. Since he wants to follow, the Lord allows, gives the mercy to do so. Otherwise, as it is mentioned, if somebody is weak,
then the material energy has more than sufficient energy to push one down. That is the nature of Maya. If one is a bit insincere, one doesn't want to, yes, then there are ample of opportunity to be swayed away from devotional service. So then the question could be raised that what will happen if a devotee falls down from the devotional service? It is addressed in Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter, right? What happens to him? And it is mentioned in the 5th chapter of the 1st canto, Narada Muni's instruction to Vyasadeva, which again glorifies the devotional service. Savai janajadus kathanchana vrajet mukunda sevi anavrinda samsrati smaram mukundangri upaguhanam puna vighadum ichchenara sagrahojanaha. What happens if a devotee falls down from the devotional service? It is very unfortunate, but if it happens, then everything finished. What happens to him? It's a very important question. It is very interestingly discussed by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. So it is mentioned that if a devotee leaves devotional service after practicing for some time, what happens? He will suffer like anything. Not a very good news. But it is mentioned, one will suffer like anything. So it is not an encouragement for anyone to leave. Krishna makes sure that his life doesn't go very smooth. So this is the nature of Krishna. So Krishna makes sure that such a devotee who has served him very sincerely, and because of some unfortunate circumstance, he leaves devotional service, and Krishna makes sure that he suffers like anything. But it is mentioned that the suffering of such a devotee is not that of a karmi. Suffering of such a devotee who has left devotional service, it is considered as a punishment given by the Lord. So the Lord wants to see that this devotee, he was serving him nicely. Now, you know, he wants to enjoy separately from me. You know, he wants to drink and dance and, you know, get involved in all nonsense. Okay, let him go through. But still, he will realize that I cannot get enjoyment in this way. So the point is, he will get punishment in such a way that he comes back to his senses. He thinks, oh no, I tried everything. While I was in the temple, I thought, you know, I am being controlled by so many things, people. I had to get up early in the morning. It was so difficult. And I had to chant my rounds, which was like a torture. Then Bhagavatam, I was sleeping most of the time. Then Prasadam, it was good part of it. Finally, the reward was Prasadam. But still, whole day service, night I am so tired, I don't get enough sleep. Somehow or other, I have pushed for so many years. Now, I want to take a break. So, people think like that. They may leave in that way. Then what happens? Krishna gives punishment. So, I was hearing the story of a devotee who was thinking in the same way. You know, he was doing book distribution. He was engaged in devotional service, but after some time he started thinking, yeah, it's too much for me, I want a break. Exactly opposite to what Prabhupada tells in this purport. There is no retirement from such service, but he wanted a break. So he went out, and you know, he hasn't engaged in senses so much before, so now got a girlfriend. You know, he was partying and he was going around, and one day he was in a pub. And he was sitting in his pub, and you know, he was drinking. And suddenly, one person came. And he just, without any reason, he punched him so hard on his face. So hard that he became unconscious. Then when he opened his eyes, he was in the hospital. Now, with that punch, he got this realization. So along with this punch, the realization came that I was practically wasting my time. Then he came back and he started practicing devotional service again. So Krishna has his means. It is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Rasagraha Janaha, he actually remembers. Finally, he has this realization. This taste I have obtained by eating this rasagula or gulab jamun, I can never get in my life. So Krishna pushes his devotees to surrender unto him. So this is the job of Krishna. So if you try to leave Krishna, Krishna can do anything to you.
He can make your life miserable. Then, if you stay in devotional service, what happens? Then also Krishna takes everything from you. That's what Krishna says. You remember we were discussing the verses from Villamangal Thakur, Vrajaya Prasiddham. In the second verse, I think, it is mentioned that he is so expert that he steals everything. He is the expert thief. Vrajaya Prasiddham, Navanita Chavaram, Gopanganam Cha, Duluka Chavaram, Anega Janmarjita Papa Chavaram, Chavaragra Ganyam, Purusham Namami. Chavaragra Ganyam, Purusham Namami. He steals everything because he is the best of the thieves. Then finally, Billamangal Thakur makes a statement that he makes one without a home, without any relatives. Street is the only shelter. And he says that, I haven't seen such a thief in the three worlds. I haven't heard, I haven't seen in the three worlds. Jagatrayapi, in the three worlds. Na shrutva, na pashyan, jagatrayapi. I haven't seen, I haven't heard in the three worlds. So if one takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna takes away anything, everything, anyway. Can you understand the problem now? The decision that we have taken to become a devotee, we are in a trap. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned one thing. Prabhupada said, chant, be happy, dance. Chant, you know, chant, dance and feast. This was Prabhupada's formula. So many people, devotees joined. But after joining and after spending some time, a few years, they understood the process is not that easy. It has its difficulties. Then Prabhupada said, yeah, that's right. I actually tricked you. So Prabhupada actually tricked all the devotees, and in our preaching also we also trick everyone. We tell everyone, you know, it's very easy, you know, chant, dance, you know, free of anxiety, it's nothing to worry. But when we perform devotional service, there are challenges, there are difficulties, there are impediments, right? That's the nature of devotional service. Then one could think, okay, if one devotes, you can see many devotees who have a lot of wealth. Does it mean that Krishna literally takes away everything? Krishna can if he wants. If he is very, very merciful to someone, then he can take away everything. Right? Harishye sadhanam shanaihi. Harishye, I steal everything. Harishye sadhanam shanaihi. Shanaihi. Step by step, he takes everything one by one, like Srila Prabhupada. One by one. First one thing goes, then the next thing, then the next. Finally end up in street, nothing. If Krishna wants, if Krishna is very merciful, then he can do that. If he, what is the beginning of the verse? Esya? Esyaham anugrihnami, right? Esyaham anugrihnami. When Krishna is very pleased, not just ordinary pleasing, very pleased, then he takes everything away. Now the point is, yes, that is a possibility, but is that the only possibility? No. Krishna can reward wealth also. Ambarish Maharaj had a lot of wealth. Sudama was ended up with a lot of wealth. So Krishna can give wealth, but there is a difference. Even though such amount of wealth is present with such a devotee, the difference is that he has no attachment. So when we talk about Nishkinjana devotee is not just the one who is completely impoverished in a material sense, but a devotee who is completely detached from wealth. He is also considered impoverished. He is also a Nishkinjana devotee. Srila Prabhupada was all wealthy. He had 108 temples, right? He had so much of wealth. He was traveling in opulent cars. But still, Srila Prabhupada is a Nishkinjana devotee. Because since he doesn't have any attachment to the wealth, and it is completely used in service of Krishna. So that is Nishkinjana. So even one can have wealth, but Krishna removes the attachment. So this is the treatment of Krishna. So in whatever circumstance, that is a devotee who has wealth or who has nothing, still his attachment becomes Krishna. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection to Jadabharat's pastime, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a very interesting point that in devotional service, in the progressive devotional service, one cannot have any attachment to anything but Krishna. Very important point. We can have attachment only to Krishna. So this is the path of pure devotional service. We cannot have our list. in our back of our mind, I need this, I need that. No. Attachment only to Krishna. And that is only possible if we have a very strong sadhana and service. If we have to correct our mentality. This is one thing we need to work on, our mentality. In chanting Krishna's names, in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. In reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the initial stage of reading Srimad Bhagavatam is reading for knowledge, reading for philosophical understanding. Reading so that, okay, I can remember, maybe I can share, which is good. That is the way we read Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning. We don't have any choice, but that is the way to go. However, as we read Srimad Bhagavatam further, we need to try to see the connection to Krishna. We need to feel Srimad Bhagavatam. We need to feel Srimad Bhagavatam means we can connect ourselves to Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see the applicability of Srimad Bhagavatam in our own life. When we read a verse and a translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see, yes, I am part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it transforms from theory to practical application. So that's where the Srimad Bhagavatam comes to life. Because it is not just more knowledge acquisition. Rather, it's something practical reality. Then we can see the world through Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see our life through Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, as Lord Brahma is exemplifying, he is performing austerities, and we have ample of opportunities for performing austerities in devotional service. By performing devotional service, by chanting, by reading, by preaching, by doing practical service, we have ample of opportunities for austerities. That is our austerities in devotional service. Tabo divyam putraka yena sattam shuddhet yasmad brahma saukhyam tu anantam. So this is the austerity that we need to perform. Tapo divyam, we are not meant to perform other kind of austerities, but tapo divyam, austerities in devotional service to please Krishna. Putraka, yena sattvam shuddhyet. What happens? Sattvam shuddhyet, one's consciousness becomes purified. Tasmat brahma saukhyam tu anandam. Then one starts experiencing transcendental happiness. So the process of purification has two effects. It has its austerity element, and it has its effect of happiness, transcendental happiness. So it is a double-edged. One is performing devotional service, going through the impediments and performing austerities is difficult. That is one side of devotional service. And on the other side, it is brahma saukhyam to anantam. One can experience transcendental happiness. So it is a two-sided. That's why devotional service is intense. It is not one-sided. One has to go through the intensity of devotional service. Meanwhile, one is experiencing transcendental bliss. In bhakti, we can see that. And that is experienced. And that is completely manifested in Golok Vrindavan. So the devotional service in Golok Vrindavan is intense devotional service. The prema, the love of the devotees of Vrindavan is intense. And because of the intensity, there is the loving reciprocation of the Supreme Lord. They are constantly in transcendental bliss. That is Anandam Bhuti Vardhanam. Pratipatam Purnamrita Swadhanam. Why? Because of the intensity of devotional service. So Tivrayana Bhakti Yogena. So the statement of second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is Tivrayana Bhakti Yogena. If one is thinking that devotional service is intense, then one need to understand that the devotional service is meant to be intense. To bear fruit, it is meant to be intense. Otherwise, Maya has its role. So we can see senior devotees, the austerities they had gone through, it is part of devotional service, that is intense. And what we have to go through, maybe in our level, we may feel it as intense, but we have to do it. Because then only we can get the real result. Do you think devotees in Vrindavan, they are just having a good time? Yes, they are having a good time. But at the same time, their devotional service is intense. They don't have sleep, practically no sleep. Right? It is intense in one sense. They are in the spiritual body, but if you analyze, yes, it is intense. If you see the life of pure devotees, it is intense. Can you see, you might have heard the pastimes and the leelas of pure devotees, acharyas. If you see their lives are filled with difficulties and austerities. On the other side, they are in the bliss of devotional service, but on the other side, there is intensity. See the life of Srila Prabhupada. You only see the stories of intensity. You hear the pastime of he was blissful dancing, but you see so many things that he has done is so intense. Starting from traveling, a lifetime of preparation, going to the West. You see the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you will see a life of intensity, intense devotional service, right? Was he relaxed? You know, you see, go through his routine. In 1 week, we will be bedridden. The routine of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. How many hours he was sleeping, how many books he wrote. If you think about this, one will be bedridden in 1 week if you try to imitate. See the life of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Very intense. Only few hours of sleep. Intensely preaching Krishna consciousness. Even before starting the preaching mission, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he chanted how many thousands of Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Anyone remembers?
1 billion.
1 billion names of Krishna. 1 billion names of Krishna he chanted. Practically sitting in a hut. It was mentioned that when it rains, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he used to hold an umbrella because he didn't want to spend time on, you know, making a comfortable situation. He just take an umbrella and sit and chant. And only one time he used to eat. He used to, just like a dog, it was a, just like a dog would eat like this, right? With the, just with the mouth. He used to eat like that. One time in one breath. In one breath, how much he could eat, one time he could eat. That's it. One day. He used to hold his hand like this and he used to go to the prasadam like that and he used to eat in one, whatever can fit in one breath. This was the intensity in which he was performing devotional service before starting the Gaudiya preaching mission. And he was highly successful. He got the blessings of all the past acharyas. They personally came in his dream. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, they said, we are with you. You spread. Then he established 64 mutts in India. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, with his intense prayers and his intense preparations, he got the blessings of past acharyas. He got the blessings of Srila Rupa Goswami and all the past acharyas. They said, you just go, you write the books, you go to the West and you preach Krishna consciousness, we are behind you. So devotional service means it is intense. There are impediments and we are meant to cross over those impediments. By our sincerity, by our sincere endeavor, we will get the mercy of Krishna. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. You read Srimad Bhagavatam and with your realization you think how it is connected to Krishna. If you see, you can see everything is connected to Krishna. Everything is leading to Krishna. Everything. Can you see how this is connected to Krishna, what we are reading? How it is connected to Krishna? Yeah, Brahma is serving Krishna. So is there any difficulty seeing the connection to Krishna? Just before the Lord instructed, and now Lord Brahma is acting upon the instructions of the Lord. Understand, Brahma is in love. He's in love. We have to understand, we, in one sense, we try to focus on the austerities. Oh, yeah, no, Brahma having a tough time, you know. He got this instruction and, you know, 100 celestial years, Lord Brahma is performing tapa, so difficult. Yeah, we think like that. It's natural to think in that way. But one should see that Lord Brahma is in love for the Lord. He's seeing the Lord. Think about somebody seeing Krishna face to face. And the Lord is instructing. When we see these great devotees, when they are in touch with Krishna, when they are speaking to Krishna, they are getting the instructions from the Krishna, they are in ecstasy. Can you see the ecstasy of Lord Brahma? Then we can see really, yes, he is in love of Godhead. He is in love of Godhead. Lord Brahma, the Lord shook hand with Brahma. Karasparsha. And the Lord took him to the Vaikuntha planet. The Lord took him to the Golok Vrindavan. Can you see connection to Krishna? Lord Brahma is in love for the Lord. He is in prema. If we believe it or not. Forget the tapa part. You know, when we see tapa, okay, we don't want to. The whole thing will shut down. You know, he's having such a hard time. You know, yeah, I can relate to that. I am also struggling so much getting up. But he is in ecstasy. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addresses Krishna as Totta Kamalapatraksha Mahatmya Vabichavyam in the beginning verses of 11th chapter. So, Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Tattva Kamalapatraksha. Kamalapatraksha means, what is the meaning of Kamalapatraksha? Please help me. What is the meaning of Kamalapatraksha? Exactly, lotus eyed. So, this is the battlefield, right? Bhagavad Gita is in the Kurukshetra, both armies are there, everything is horrific. Now, in that, they are about to start fighting. But actually, there is a loving exchange taking place between the Lord and his devotee. And Arjuna is in ecstasy. He's in ecstasy. He's completely moved by seeing the lotus face of Krishna. He's completely moved. His heart is, you know, his heart is trembling seeing the Lord's face out of love, not out of fear, as Prabhupada mentions. Initially, yes, it is out of fear. Prabhupada mentioned there are two kinds of trembling. One is out of fear and one is out of love. So Arjuna, in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he's in love for the Lord. He's ecstatic. So Prabhupada writes, he's addressing the Lord as Kamalapatraksha, as the lotus eyed, because of ecstasy. Mahatmya Vividhi Chavyam, and your glories are imperishable, it is eternal. So this is the nature of the devotee. So on one level we see, yes, controlling the mind and the senses, going through different yogas, and finally surrendering unto Krishna, developing devotion to Krishna. Yes, this is the theme of Bhagavad Gita. However, on the other side, we can see that there is an ecstatic emotional and devotional exchanges between the Lord and his devotee. That is Bhagavad Gita. So we can see the whole Bhagavad Gita is in prema, because Arjuna is in prema for Krishna. In fact, in the Nectar of Devotion, it is mentioned that the great sages say that the Lord didn't go to the battlefield of Kurukshetra to participate in the battle. He went in his Vanamali. He went with his garland, Vaijayanti Mala, with at least five kinds of flowers which are flowing from his neck downwards, long garland. Krishna was dressed so beautifully, not just like a person who is going to fight. You know, fight means to kill. And does anyone go to the battlefield with all different kinds of ornaments and, you know, big garlands around? People go for marriages like that. For wedding, people go like that. Not to fight and kill. But what did Krishna do? Krishna was just like, as if he were in Vrindavan. He was completely dressed so nicely. With his Vanamala, with his Vaijayanti, he went to the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So the great Acharya says that the Lord didn't go to fight. He was just attracting his devotees, and he was attracting all the conditioned living entities on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was gracing his darshan. He was giving his audience to them so that they can be purified. And in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is also mentioned, the Lord went to the battlefield of Kurukshetra and he was spreading his aroma everywhere. The Lord has his aroma. The Lord is, he's fragrant by nature. He's fragrant by nature, unlike us. Our body odor is very bad. If you believe it or not, it is very bad. We have to come to the reality. You know, the body odor becomes, you know, attractive. One is afflicted by lust. Otherwise, that's where the whole thing is going on. Otherwise, it is just, it's pretty nasty. That's why, you know, there is a whole flourishing industry in exploiting that, right? So the Lord, if he is present, it's mentioned in a few kilometers, it is fragrant. The gopis, they could smell Krishna from kilometers away. So this is the nature of Krishna. So that's why, you know, we smell the Lord. It is mentioned, if we have Giriraj here, there is a very nice verse in the Govardhanashtakam. Kasturikaye shaitam kimatrai uham prapho yasya muhurvichanyan swabhavika swiya shila sugandhair govardhanome dishatam abhishtam. Swabhavika swiya shila sugandhai. Govardhan is Krishna. Govardhan is not different from Krishna.
But Govardhan has natural fragrance. That is Svabhavika Sviya Shila Sugandhai. Govardhanome Dishatam Abhishtam. Let that Govardhan fulfill my spiritual desires. So the Govardhan manifests that Krishna's potency, that he has his own fragrance. In the same way, when the Lord was present in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was emanating fragrance in all directions. So can you see in a different dimension to even Bhagavad Gita? So if you want, we can see Krishna everywhere. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, we can see. We can see the instructions. We can see the loving exchanges between the Lord and the devotees. Here also, we can see the tapa. At the same time, we can see the love of Brahma for the Supreme Lord. He has love for the Lord. Yes, Prabhu.
How does one develop taste for Bhagavad?
By reading Nityam Bhagavad Sevaya. Nityam Bhagavad Sevaya. Just by reading Bhagavatam, one develops the taste. It is not a secret for developing taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. But if you want to develop taste for anything in devotional service, the service which you don't like the most, if you want to develop taste for that service, you do that sincerely with a prayerful mood, you will develop taste eventually. Anything in devotional service. Why? Because Krishna is attractive in all different ways. Krishna's all features are attractive. So even if you don't have taste for anything, we can develop a taste just by performing that service sincerely. So if you don't have taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, what we had to do, we had to read more Bhagavatam. Then we'll develop some taste. Is that clear? Yeah.
How do you overcome this difficult situation sometimes, very hardship in life? And then if you more rest, more anger, more difficulty, if you follow, if you do association of devotees and conscious of spirituality, still keeping more difficulty in life.
Okay. How to overcome difficulties and austerities, or what do you mean? Okay, how to overcome difficulties in life even when we are performing devotional service and we are in the association of the devotees, right? So the answer is that, yes, on one side we understand that there will be difficulties. Scripture says that there are difficulties. Here in the purport also makes it very, very clear. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam, it becomes very obvious that there are difficulties in devotional service. And at the same time, how to overcome? It is only by one, strong chanting. Strong chanting means I'm reading Bhagavatam, I'm in the association of the devotees, I'm doing self-service. Still I am feeling so difficult. It means then we have to improve our chanting. Improve our reading. Improve our association. The level of sadhana and service with which we cannot sustain or with which we cannot cross over these impediments, then we have to increase our standard of sadhana and service. If you have a feeling that, okay, I'm already chanting, I'm in the association of the devotees still, you know, I'm facing so many problems, then it means that, or the problems will be there, but if you feel the problems as problems, then there is something problem. You understand? Problems will be there anyway. But if you feel that problems are serious problems for us, material problems, we feel it, they are serious problems, means then we have some problem, seriously. So we need to deepen our sadhana and service. So when we deepen our sadhana and service, then the problems have to become small. Kurvandi govat sapadam mahabdhim padam padam yat vipatam natesham. There are a couple of verses. This is a practical verses. Bhagavatam says that when one performs devotional service, the whole material ocean, bhavambudhi, becomes, what happens to bhavambudhi? Bhavambudhi becomes just like the water in the hoof print of a calf. A calf's hoof print is only this big. The ocean of material suffering becomes, that water of ocean of material suffering becomes that much quantity to fit in to the hoof print of a calf. So small. So the same experience we need to get in our devotional service. So if we are not getting that, it means we have to improve our chanting, we have to improve our association, we have to improve our sadhana. For example, if you are faced with a lot of problems, and yes, a lot of problems are coming to our mind,
at that point, if we can, when we are chanting our 16 rounds, question is, are we able to focus our mind on chanting 16 rounds? We should be able to. If we are, especially if we are facing problem, we need to focus our attention to chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And if we focus with, there will be difficulties in focusing, but still with great difficulty, if we focus on the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, at the end of the chanting, we will get the realization that the problems which were so much, now it has reduced at least. Just by chanting. This is actually proof of chanting works. We need to get practical realizations that we will be faced with problems, and while chanting, and by chanting and the association of the devotees, yes, problems are there. It's not that the problems, material problems, are going to go away immediately, just evaporate by chanting. But problems are there, but still our consciousness is not affected so much by that. Since we are not pure devotees, if we are pure, then it's not at all afflicted. Since we are not in that stage, at least we need to see, oh, there are problems, but I am not so much affected. We need to get this practical realization. When we get that, then we understand, oh, chanting works actually. Right? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So improve our sadhana and service. Any final question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Oh, can you tell about Bilwa
Mala? Oh, I don't think I can do it now. Okay. That's a separate pastime. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
And
someone leaves the ocean, so the sound is there. Yeah, it is not. One is meant to go through suffering anyway, because karma is there. Whether one is a devotee or one is not a devotee. Right? So there is no question of... That is actually free will. Because we have suffering because of free will. Because we have chosen to do something out of our free will. So as a reaction, we are getting this suffering. So the suffering proves that there is free will. Because we are held responsible for our activities. Then for a devotee, Krishna can use his karma, or Krishna can add if he wishes something. In that way he can punish. So there is a hand of Krishna. That's all. The suffering is there, but it is not the same punishing as just that of karma. But there is a hand of Krishna. So Krishna can orchestrate such suffering that a devotee who has left Krishna consciousness can come to the right conclusion that without Krishna, I can't be happy in this world. So there is a hand of Krishna. So it is not... breaching Krishna's promise of giving the free will. Free will is there. Still, after giving everything, still one devotee, Krishna tries his best. Still, if he wants to go away from Krishna, yes, then Krishna allows. That is always there. Mudha janmani janmani. Birth after birth remain a fool. That option is also there. Krishna doesn't interfere with the free will. Mudha janmani janmani. But we don't want that. Right, yeah. One birth itself is too much. No, janmani, janmani. And if one still wants to be inimical towards Krishna, then Krishna nicely places one in the animal species of life. So that one doesn't commit any offense to devotees. If one actually becomes so inimical to Krishna, to commit offense to devotees and Krishna, then Krishna, out of compassion, he places them in lower species so that they don't have to commit offense to devotees or Krishna. So that is also compassion of Krishna. Yeah. Okay. Let's stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.